Thanks for downloading the Bedhoppers podcast. If you're not 18, then you probably shouldn't be listening to this, because this podcast contains themes of a sexual nature. It chronicles our journey into the swinging lifestyle. Thank you for hopping into our beds. Welcome back to Bedhoppers. I'm Mr. H and this is...
Mrs. H.
Together we form Wild Style...
This again.
Do you think I can get away with this a lot more times?
Nope.
Okay. Anyway, welcome to episode 8 of the Bedhoppers podcast. Today we've got some exciting things to talk to you about. Like what?
Ooh, all sorts of things.
All sorts of things.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want me to tell everybody?
No. I thought we were going to cover that later.
Okay, well, we're not telling everybody everything straight away.
No, it's true.
So today we are going to talk a bit about our journey. We'll give you a bit about our first actual couples play date.
Oh.
It's not a total unmitigated disaster.
It's not a huge disaster, but it does make me cringe a little bit when I look back.
Yeah, and it relates to another podcast that we heard by someone else.
Yes.
How amazing is that? So we've got that. We've got a new feature called Mr. H Confesses.
I hope this is just a one-off feature.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
Let's just hope it's here for a guest appearance and then doesn't return.
Yeah, but me too. I hope I don't have a return on this one. We've also got a topic. The topic this time round is all about body issues and confidence. And then, of course, we've got our delightful tip section called...
Just the tip.
How lovely. So, let's talk about our journey first things first. So, last time we spoke to you, we were talking about how what had we done? We'd had our worst meat evs.
Oh, Mr. Special Brew.
Special Brew?
Yeah, the worst meat we ever had. So, we covered that.
We covered that quite extensively. And it's safe to say there will be a follow-up to that. But we're trying to do things a little bit in chronological. Clearly, I'm still suffering from last night, which you'll hear about in the Mr. H Confesses section later on. So we'd had our sort of first couples...
we had a couple social first.
Yeah, it's a couple social. So, we'd switched our profile to looking for couples because we thought that was cool.
We got over the trauma of Special Brew. We
got over that.
And thought, we'll get back out there.
We got back on the horse. Back on the horse. And updated our profile again to say, yes, we would like to find couples.
Please don't approach us if you're weird and madmen.
Yeah, we had a new set of questions to ask people. And we had a really lovely message, actually, from a couple.
They were really lovely. They explained that they knew we probably weren't their cup of tea because they bothered to read the profile.
Yeah.
Which was won them some brownie points anyway.
Yeah.
But their message was so honest and nice and reassuring that they weren't going to bite us. They just wanted to have a social and have a chat about where we were up to and our journey so far and could they help kind of thing. That we thought, let's just have a social with them.
Let's roll the dice.
Yeah, but make sure we definitely meet in the pub this time.
Yes. No going to flats and turning up at people's
houses. No, and we knew from the off that they probably weren't aesthetically our thing, our bag, but we were just reassured by their honesty and the fact that they already kind of addressed that elephant in the room.
It's the fact they had tails that really put me off.
No, they were very honest that they knew that we wouldn't probably find them super attractive, or you know, it was more of a kind of, hey, let's just meet up anyway because it's hard to find good friends. And
so we rolled the dice and we met them in a pub. And do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, we had a really great night, actually. I found them both very engaging, very honest, and my God, they were experienced, weren't they? They've been doing it quite a long time.
Yeah, they definitely were smooth.
Seasoned. Yes.
But you went with seasoned, though, and smooth.
Yeah.
Smooth operators.
They were.
They were good.
Too good.
Yeah, possibly a little bit too good, as we may come to discuss shortly. But overall, we had a really nice evening with them. And it was really good to understand their philosophy behind why they do it, why they're involved in this lifestyle, and for them to tell us about some of their experiences. So we didn't really feel quite as alone as we had done. Even though we had our guys on the chat,
it was nice to actually meet people face to face.
Yeah. And ask them questions and talk.
Yeah.
What I liked about them was I felt we were on a similar wavelength in terms of not just age and that kind of thing, but it was just easy to talk to them. They weren't illiterate. They were really nice. They were intelligent. They were good humour, that kind of thing.
And they liked Jurassic Park.
Yeah, they did. They were just nice, good people that we kind of got on with, and we thought, well, yeah, we'd just like to chill and have a drink with you.
Yeah, so we did. That went really well. So we agreed to meet them again, didn't we, for a little bit of a play date?
Well, and again, we didn't actually specify in advance it would be a play date, but I guess there was an implication, an unspoken implication, by virtue of the fact that you were invited to the house and they're going to cook you dinner.
Yeah, this was a different night, not straight away, yeah, by the way. We'd gone away and discussed it.
Yeah. But again, it wasn't openly spoken about. It was more of a, well, let's have dinner. You know, so I think you could probably read into that, and we did a little bit, and assumed that, all right, this may mean that we do that, do something physical.
And I think we've made it really clear with them that our approach was very much around being a soft swap couple at this point.
Oh yeah, we were utterly terrified of anything full swap related, weren't we?
Mm.
But they knew that.
Yeah.
And I think at this juncture we were very keen to rip the plaster off a bit and see what happened, and in a kind of safe zone of,
yeah,
well, neither one of us is going to run away with these guys because, you know, they're not like 100% in our kind of arena of what's attractive, but they were nice.
You're digging yourself a little bit of a hole.
No,
you're such a bad person,
no,
Mrs. H.
I'm
a terrible person.
I'm trying to say they were nice to look at, but they just weren't kind of what we would normally go for. Well, mm-hmm. Now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I don't think we really knew what we wanted to go for.
Yeah, well, we didn't really know what was available,
no,
I suppose.
We had no idea.
Extent.
We just thought, okay, this couple like us, they want to cook us dinner. They've been nice to us so far. We
conveniently
get on with them.
Like 3 miles away from our house.
Yeah, it was all kind of okay. Let's see what happens.
So we went over there mm-hmm. on the night. Again, shitting ourselves a little bit because that's our patented technique.
Yeah. It is a bit.
And to be fair, they cooked us a wonderful, wonderful meal.
They had cooked us a wonderful meal, and they had an amazing house.
Somebody had house envy.
Oh my God, they had such a beautiful house.
It was like a palace.
Well,
the 17 manservants that they had. But that didn't happen. They weren't
no,
really manservants.
It was a beautiful, beautiful house and a lovely meal, and everything was going really well. And we were getting on okay, and the, you know, the drink was flowing.
Yeah. Don't, please don't talk about drink.
The conversation was all good. And it, once again, it got super late before anything really happened, as is always the case, isn't it?
It's swinger obligation that you're not allowed to do anything until
midnight.
Yeah, until midnight at the very, very earliest. I mean, if you play before then, I think you actually get kicked out of the lifestyle.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, it's like the vegan police in Scott Pilgrim. The swinger police turn up.
Okay, if you like three strikes.
You cocky cock.
Yeah, so it was going quite well. And we... Now, at this point, I think we should probably mention some of the little warning signs that cropped up.
Yeah, please do.
So, again, we were very new to this. First couple we played with.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very obvious how good they were at this. Because he was very... he orchestrated his seating arrangements halfway through the night and made sure that when I went for a drink and came back into the room, he had switched around a bit. So he was next to me.
You've been struck by a smooth criminal.
So that happened, which I didn't really read into at the time, but it was obvious that he had orchestrated that and moved himself around to be instrumental in his advance.
You're using a lot of music-based language here to describe what
he's
been...
Well, he had.
He conducted this move. He played a merry game.
He played me like a virtuoso.
That's my phrase.
I don't know where percussion's going to come in. But anyway, the point was...
he banged you like a drum.
God, no, stop. The point was, before I knew it, he was sitting next to me, and every now and then he just put his hand on the back of my neck,
mm-hmm.
which hadn't been possible before because he was sitting near the other side of the room.
No, he didn't have Mr. Tickle arms.
No. So that was the first little, oh, okay, let's see what you're doing here. Making some moves.
Mm.
You know, God knows we weren't going to make any moves because we didn't have a clue what to do. And then they talked a little bit about their kind of... what we talked about last time with our warning signals and things, if things weren't going well. So they were quite open and honest about all that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, they talked about their approach to that and mm-hmm. what they do with that. And they weren't making those signals, so it seemed to be going okay. And then they suggested that sort of we go up to the bedroom, really, didn't they?
They did.
Now, one of the things we listened to quite recently was the Priory Society's podcast, and they spoke sorry folks, I'll get better as the night goes on, I promise. They spoke a lot about separation and how seasoned couples tend to separate newbies, and this was something that really
divide became, and conquer, they called it, didn't
yeah
they? really resonated with me and you
and me,
and it was very apparent after listening to this podcast that this is exactly what happened to us.
Mm.
They, my God, they were ninjas at work.
They were, and their bedroom was, you know, it's fair to say, bigger than our front room.
Their bedroom was so huge that it was possible, really, to be in two different wings of the bedroom, but still be in the same room.
It was, and I think they used that really to their advantage, because
she
took me down one end of the room, and he took you down the other end of the room,
yeah.
And we really were sort of physically separated. We might as well have been in different fucking continents.
Yeah, it was so odd how it happened, though. It wasn't a kind of, hey, we're going to go in different places. It just happened that they drove the whole thing. They did that. But it was seamless. They worked as a team and did it.
Well, they really did. By the way, folks, if you hear some weird purring, it's not Mrs. H tonight.
It's the cat.
It's the cat.
So before we knew it, you had been kind of trapped on the giant bed.
Yes.
With Mrs. And the gentleman, as I said, took me to the chaise longue at the end of the other end of the room.
It was a 5-seater fucking sofa.
Yeah.
I swear to you, there was a front room in their bedroom.
It was crazy big. But again, we were like, okay, well, we can still see each other. We're in the same room. But you obviously couldn't have touched each other.
Yeah. Can you pass me the salt, please?
Yeah. So that was quite odd. So it became a swap situation very quickly, rather than the all people in a connective kind of lovely pile like we had anticipated. I first
can,
sort of played
can
it
you
being.
Stop petting the cat because you're
he's but he's purring. Sorry. So yeah, that
not a euphemism. Folks.
So when I heard this podcast by the Priory Society, it was so obvious this is kind of what they'd done to us.
Yeah, and obviously their story was, you know, it really resonated with us, but it was taking that to a far greater extreme. I mean, we were all in the same room. Let's not, you know, expand that too much. But it did feel as though we were completely separated. We might as well have been in a different room, especially as it was our first couple's experience.
And it was quite dark. We had some dim lighting, candles and whatnot. So it was quite difficult, really, for me to poke my head up over the ridiculously big settee and see what you were doing. So I had to just kind of let it ride and not sort of go too crazy about it all.
Mm. They both did also try to fuck us.
Yes, they did. And we were like, no, we don't want to do that. We said we weren't going to do that.
They were both trying, though, opposite ends of the room.
They really were.
And being quite cunning with their approach and the way they did it. So, I mean, we did end up playing with them.
On a soft swap basis, but yeah, we did.
And we sort of, at the end of the night, we came away with really mixed feelings. We're sort of high-fiving each other for being brave enough to have this sexy adventure. But at the same
point... And not having a breakdown.
And not having a breakdown. But at the same point, we also kind of felt like we'd been a little bit taken advantage of. Not
yeah,
in a
I
massive
think so.
Way.
No, I think that's fair. We had been a little bit taken advantage of. They plied us with drink. They took us to the massive mansion bedroom, and then they kind of worked on us and separated us and just kind of took control of the situation. Like, really took control.
Yeah, and but that's fine if you are playing with newbies, but it didn't feel like it was a guiding level of control, I think. And that's probably where we came away from the situation thinking, oh, actually, we didn't like it particularly, or whilst we enjoyed the experience, we felt like we had been used a little bit. I think what it also really taught us, though, was that we like to be close together when we play, and that we like to be able to reach out and touch each other and
yes, it really
be aware of where the other is, which will be interesting when we come to Stage's Confessors in just a couple of minutes. So I think overall the experience was an okay one, but there were quite a few learnings that came out of it.
Most definitely.
I think it did sort of move us along that journey, and it felt good to actually know that we could do this and that it was possible, and that I didn't have a complete and utter breakdown at the end of it. But at the same point, there were quite a lot of bits where I thought, we could do this better.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and we could do it with nicer people.
Do it with nicer people.
As in people who weren't quite so manipulative in their approach.
I thought you were going on about the way they look again.
No, not at all.
You make them sound like sloth out of Goonies. Hey, you guys!
Oh, no, not at all, no.
Really?
It really was just the way they owned the situation, I think.
Mm.
Plus, it was their turf, their house.
That's true.
You know, who knows, if they'd been in our house, maybe they may not be quite so bold, because obviously...
That's true, but it's
we don't have a bedroom the size of, like, a castle.
Plus, there's an angry little dog that just stares at you.
Yeah, exactly. So... Yeah, next part of our journey was that, and it has helped us move on to other things,
okay,
which we'll come to. But.
Cool. So that's that for our journey for this week. Next week, we're going to tell you a little bit about, our first club, I suppose, mm-hmm, you could call it, sort of club social gathering place.
Yeah.
And also a thrilling return of Special Brew. And a moment where we break all our rules.
Oh, yeah, we were bad swingers.
We made a bad song, Petey.
Yeah.
We really did. So, and talking of bad swingers, it's time for Mr. H Confesses.
Oh, dear.
Should we have some sort of, like, Bavarian monks chanting?
You need some sad music, right? No, you need that...
that was more Justin Timberlake, wasn't it?
No, you need that music where... they read out a sad story and it's got some really... Yeah.
Like the Incredible Hulk music. Yeah. If you can just imagine that's playing whilst I talk...
You bare your soul.
Yeah, well, I'm not really baring myself.
Oh, I don't know, I think you might.
I'm just hanging my head in shame. So we went to a club last night.
Yeah, more social than play club, but it does have an element of play, doesn't it?
It has a play room.
Yeah.
A plurum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we had a problem on our way there with our hotel.
Yeah. Which, my teeth fuck up.
Yeah.
The hotel cancelling our room at the last minute and moving us to another one lots of miles away.
Yeah. So we had a whole mix-up. And I'd wanted to get there early last night because...
It was to chill out and have a few drinks.
Yeah, chill out, have a couple of drinks and just relax, really, because it had been a busy old day. And then to find out the hotel had really shafted us with our room booking and then placed us in a place that was sort of
It set a mood that was to come back and later take you down.
Yeah, so we managed to get to the...
By the skin of our teeth.
Yeah, we managed to get there just about before they locked the doors, because they locked the doors at a certain time. At this particular venue, and we got there just as that happened.
Seething,
yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, we were both in a foul mood, which is always a good way to get to a
sex club. Well, we were glad we got there, but we were just really irritated, weren't we?
Mm.
And you were like, oh my god, I need a drink now because I'm so angry at this almighty mess up, and I just want to get in and have a drink.
So I may have downed in the first 20 minutes of being there
more than one drink.
Well. Yeah, I may have drank quite a bit.
Yeah, it's fair to say. And you then, were knocking them back like they were just soda.
Well, I think we between the two of us, we got through a bottle of wine in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, and for every glass that I was drinking, you were having about three.
Yeah. I felt much, much more calm after the first bottle of wine. It really did help to calm both my nerves and my mood. And, you know, alcohol dependency is not a good thing, kids, if you need help, go seek the AA or someone. But it just descended into a little bit of Mr. H being on the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then continuing to be on the sauce.
Yeah, you were like a man possessed after that.
And it wasn't even nice. I think that's what made it worse. It was, you know, it was kind of the sort of place you go to and you say, can I have a bottle of wine, please? And they say white or red.
Yeah.
And those are your options.
Yeah.
So, you know.
There's no finesse about the grape, was there?
No, there was not. So it was kind of, you had to drink it quickly to get rid of the taste. It wasn't my fault at all. It was the mood and the taste of the wine.
Uh-huh, if you say so.
So I continued throughout the night to
knock them back.
To knock them back. However, I was on absolute top form.
You were, for the majority of the night. I agree, you were.
For 99.9%.
Witty bantering yourself around the place.
I think it might have been like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer sort of reimagines what he was like the night out of being at the piss.
Sparkling wit and repartee.
Sparkling wit with his brandy in his hand, swirling it around with his monocle and the top hat. Yes, that was completely wonderful. Did you see that thing on the news the other day? Wasn't that so exciting?
When the reality was, floor.
Yeah, if you cut to reality, I was probably there going, I love this. Just was,
give me another bottle of wine.
Yeah. So it was all going well, and I managed to arrange a social.
Yeah, you impressed the pants off this newbie couple.
Yeah, did that.
So you were like a whirling dervish, a social. Like, you were just all over the place. You were amazing.
I was on top
for the majority of the night.
Form. In fact, we persuaded. We had a wonderful conversation with a lovely lady, and decided that we were going to play with her.
We did.
In this club, and we don't tend to play at the club.
We really don't. But on this occasion, they'd readjusted the layout a bit, and it was a bit nicer. And this lady was really pretty, so we thought, well, this would be nice. Let's just go and see what happens. Let's go and play with this nice lady.
As her fella was otherwise preoccupied already in the playroom with some other friends of ours.
So yeah, we proceeded to make our way to the darkened area.
So we get into the playroom and it's all going well.
It's still
going really well.
Me and the lady are having a great time. Get involved. It's all good.
I've been involved. Yeah, I was involved with her. And then a unicorn that we'd met that night joins in and I'm playing with her. Everything is going amazingly until I'm you know, sort of
entertaining
this lady in the nicest possible way. And then...
Oh, well, let's be a bit more basic about it, shall we? You had your face in her muff.
In her muff.
In her muff.
In and around her muff.
You did.
I was... She was paying me lots of compliments.
Because entertaining could mean you were just having a chat.
Oh, no, okay, fine.
So you were face down in a muff.
Face down in a muff.
Go on.
And
what happened then?
Well, I was about to tell the listeners how amazing she said I was at both doing that and kissing. Because that's the bit that we went... And we'll just stop the story here.
No, you carry on.
Okay, fine.
It's going really well.
And then...
Face down in a muff, yeah.
Face down in a muff. And then the alcohol hit me and I needed to be sick. You can't see me hanging my head in shame, but I really am. So
I haven't stopped laughing.
I had to immediately get up and leave the room so that I could hurl my guts up.
Let's just dial this back a bit. So we went to a sex club. You were face down in a muff, and then you were sick.
And then I was sick. The muff was fine. It was a lovely muff. It was delightful. It wasn't that caused a problem in the slightest.
Oh, this story is so awesome.
However, the
good thing is, at this point, because it was so dark, and there were so many people around and what have you, and all the time I'd been kind of near you, and I could see you, I could see your head, and we were near each other.
Yeah.
Because at this point... A nice gentleman came along, which I played before with, and he started entertaining me, which was lovely. And we were a few minutes into that. And I then popped my head up again just to check everything was good, and you were not there.
I know. I couldn't tell you that I was going because I already had puke in my mouth. I'm sorry, we did tell you that it was a graphic episode.
It's a very funny story, though. So I was very aware at this point that you had left the room and not obviously told me you were leaving the room. So I immediately went into panic because we don't do that. We don't play unless we can see each other.
Mm.
Right? So I was like, okay, he's not here. So either he's gone to loo, he's gone to get a drink. But it seems weird that he would just leave the situation without kind of giving me a heads up. So I had no idea you were absolutely so paralytic that you were chundering in
neither
a
did
lady's
I.
muff. But anyway.
I didn't chunder in her muff. I stood up and left three quarters of the room before I was sick of my mouth.
Anyway, so you left with haste. I then immediately stopped what I was doing with this chap. And to his credit, he also knew you. And he said, oh my God, let's go find him.
Yeah.
So the room was quite large and very dark. So we navigated it quite carefully to see if you popped into the area next door, which mystified me. Well, why would you do that anyway? So we
it's also worth pointing out that I had to leave without my glasses, so I couldn't do fuck all.
Gets better, doesn't it, really?
It does.
And then someone trod on your glasses, didn't
yeah.
they? But anyway, so we did a few laps of the club and I couldn't see him anywhere. I tried to phone him. I was getting really panicked at the stage. I was like, oh my God, what if? And the worst panic set in. And I thought, what if he'd seen me playing with this guy and he had a meltdown about it and was not happy and he's run off somewhere? That was my initial thought.
No, all I was trying to do was not be sick in the sex room, because that probably wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, that's a faux pas. I don't think they'd invite you back.
I'm not sure they're going to invite me back as it stands.
No, so, I think it's a very specific fetish and, you know, that's probably one not...
Puke khaki?
Well, it is an actual bona fide fetish, isn't it?
It is.
Like, anyway,
but I didn't enjoy being sick, and I don't think anyone enjoyed me being sick either. However, we eventually managed to find each other, and...
Yeah, some half hour later, and I was relieved that he hadn't thought that, you know...
You were relieved that you weren't in trouble?
No, I was relieved that you were okay, but I'm very glad that I left when I did and went to find you, because, you know, it'd been absolutely awful if I just carried on doing what I was doing and you'd be like, brilliant, thanks wife, I'm here chundering away in a sex club and you're still enjoying sexy times with this guy.
But the great thing was, even though I was sick, and we're sat in the room ordering an Uber to take us back to our hotel that's 400 miles away, yeah. Whatever the fuck it was, and we actually almost managed to arrange another social. Well, I was with my head in my hands, swaying, not feeling very well at all.
Even in the face of adversity,
you still
managed to flirt your way into another situation.
Yes I did.
In between, like, sessions of puking everywhere.
So.
Because then you carried on puking until Uber arrived.
Yeah, but then we went back to the hotel. I cleaned my teeth, and then we had sex.
I know, so weird. I just don't get it.
Takes a licking, keeps on ticking. So oh, clearly, dear. You did like the sex thing with the puke thing.
Mm. So, not your finest moment.
Not my finest moment. As we said at the start of this adventure, guys, we clearly don't know what we're doing half the time. So, when we offer top tips about don't drink too much, we should have checked in and followed that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was funny.
Interesting, like, going back into that flipping room, like, several times. The last time I went in, it was just like... I said to you earlier, it was like the end of Tusk with, like, moving sea lions are going up and down everywhere. It was just like mounds of bodies, like, oh, God. So at that point, we made a swift exit.
Is it not more like Slither?
Oh, yeah, that also is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good analogy.
Nice.
Well done.
Thanks. You know, movie references that I can do.
But the good news is you've made a full recovery today.
Hooray!
And we've had a really nice day today. It's been really super sunny and we've, like, got some rays. And
For those of you that saw the Darth Vader helmet picture on Twitter, and I urge you to avoid it if you haven't, yeah, I was able to top up my pasty white translucent skin ever so slightly by sitting in the sun for a couple of hours today and not move.
Now you're white with red bits.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, I'm feeling much, much better now, which is good. And thank you all for writing in with your concern and sympathy for me in advance.
Oh, I see. You're expecting sympathy, are you?
No, I expect none. It was all self-inflicted. It was absolutely fucking stupid of me to do it. I apologise wholeheartedly.
I've still allowed it on to the complaint I'm going to send for hotel.
Yeah.
And another thing, you've ruined my husband's night because you made him sick in a sex club.
Yeah, thanks. That's right.
Thanks for spoiling his mood and so much that he had to torpedo 3 bottles of Pinot Grigio.
And I would apologise to that, to the girl I was playing with, but I don't think she was sober enough to actually remember either.
Actually, she was quite drunk as that.
Yeah, so it's
all's well, ends well.
Yeah,
and so it's kept me laughing all day.
Yeah, thank you, dear. Thank you.
Mm.
So, from Mr. H Confesses, hopefully we won't have to do another one of these, but you never know.
Oh my God, I hope we don't do a Mrs. H Confesses.
That would be amazing.
No.
Cool. So, next thing is our topic of the day.
Hmm.
There's still no theme tune for it.
No, don't eat them. No, stop. Anyway. Oh.
Okay, fine. So what's our topic of the day?
Well, you tell me. It's body image.
Yes, body issues.
Oh, body issues.
And confidence.
Okay.
And I think the reason this popped into my head is that, so later on in the year we're going on holiday. And we want to be in the best possible shape that we can be for this holiday. Oh my goodness.
I need to start doing lunges right now.
Yeah, I need to
I need to be doing them last week.
Yeah, a lot of press-ups, lunges. And that's just you.
Thanks. So, I mean, this is a holiday where you are going to require some serious body confidence, right?
Well, yeah. And I think it struck me. The reason why I think we already know that we need to get a little bit fitter.
Well, we could always be fitter, but we do pretty well. So.
Well, we do all right. We could do better, though.
Mm-hmm.
We could be, like, awesome. I could be, like, Wolverine fit.
And I keep saying, we're going to get shredded and look amazing.
You said that we were going to get shredded a new year. It was a resolution. You said, this year, we are going to get so motherfucking shredded. You'll be able to, like, have abs.
Great cheese on my abs.
Yeah. When really all you've done is sat on your ass and grated cheese.
Hush. I mean, yeah, and I say this on an alarming regular basis that I would like to be much, much fitter than I am. But here I am drinking Prosecco and eating food that's like not healthy for me.
Well, like an Easter egg.
Yeah, you actually ate an Easter egg in May.
That's legit. That's fine. Oh, it was emergency Easter egg chocolate, which, as we all know...
Who needs an emergency Easter egg? This is the point I'm making. I could be a lot better. So.
It could have been emergency crisps.
Yeah, I would have had that.
Yeah.
So we both have a level of awareness around we could be a bit fitter, but hey, we have a really fun lifestyle and we love eating and drinking socially. And
I'm not so keen on drinking now.
Yeah, right.
At the moment, I'm not so keen.
Okay.
But I do need to eat more.
Yeah, yeah. So.
So I think one of the things we first found when we started this whole journey was that, as we've said before, neither one of us wanted to be the weakest link.
No.
And I think we both have issues about our own bodies, because everyone has issues about the way they look and the way they are. And one of the things that we have found, though, is that our confidence has grown since entering the lifestyle.
Hugely.
So whilst we have tried to maintain a level of fitness. It's not always about fitness, but quite often that's linked closely to how we feel about this and our confidence in this journey. We've found that as we've gone to clubs and as we've met people and as we've put ourselves on display. I mean, there's no way 2 years ago Mr. H would have been, speaking about myself in the third person here, Mr. H ain't no fool, would have been posting pictures of himself on pants across the internet.
No, I know. Whereas I have always been very, very comfortable in my skin. Very comfortable.
Mm.
Extremely confident.
I'm always comfortable in you.
I'm always extremely confident. Not because I know I look like a supermodel or anything. I don't. I really don't. But it's more that being nude with people is a great equaliser. And I like that once the gloves are off, that's what you've got. And I kind of like...
If you're only just wearing gloves.
No, I just like that what you see is what you get, and it's how you portray it and what you do with it that makes everything very sexy.
Mm.
So I actually like a larger man, like a, you know, I don't like skinny men.
No.
because
it's just as well, really, isn't it?
and I, what I like even more is a supremely confident large man.
So how would you feel about a sort of hobbit-sized man with a beard?
Well, I have that anyway. It's all good.
That's what I mean. I'm glad you figured out that cunning trap there that you almost fell into.
So, I mean, it's funny. When you're part of a couple, obviously, you do have a bit of a tolerance and an allowance for how big you might let your other half get before you sort of then decide that it's time that you both got back in shape a little bit, I think. Mm. Like, when we first met,
been waiting to have this conversation with you in front of our listeners.
Now's the time, right?
Yeah.
Like some awful Jerry Springer-style thing, okay?
Yeah.
No, I mean, when we first met, we were obviously in much, much better shape, and we kind of got fat and happy over the years. Mm-hmm. Then we got to a point where we were too fat, and we lost a ton of weight,
mm-hmm.
had a lovely wedding, and then we...
Hang on, well, no, that it didn't happen that order.
No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We reduced our weight.
We did 1 week of exercise before our wedding.
Yeah?
We did an exercise DVD, and we were both sick.
Yeah. Oh, bless. But now, we go to the gym a lot, you know.
Well, I go to the gym.
We go to the gym a lot. And we are generally very, very healthy, but we could stand to lose a little.
You say very, very healthy. I've just told a story for 20 minutes about how I drank so much that I puked in a sex club.
That's true.
So we're not the healthiest.
But we did go to the gym yesterday.
Yes, we did go into the gym before, so that makes it okay.
Yes. So, but with the body issues, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've met people who are in way better shape than me, and they have way more hang-ups,
yeah, weirdly. Yeah, it's true.
Because I actually think the fitter and the better you look, actually, it's probably harder to maintain, and the slightest little, you know, pound of weight that appears, they're probably like freaking out.
But it's not all about weight, though, is it?
No, no.
Some people have issues with the way that they they look, or just certain aspects of their body.
Yeah.
And we have this chat a lot, don't we?
Oh, good God, yeah. We're constantly like, I'm begging you for a boob job every 2 minutes. No.
Nope.
There you go, see? So it's interesting what you consider your own imperfections to be aren't necessarily the shared opinion of your partners. So
that's true. Although, you know, next week,
mm-hmm.
in fact, yeah, by the time you might hear this, it might be this week, it's our 11-year wedding anniversary.
Yes.
And you're actually being enhanced through a new tattoo.
I am, because I'm not allowed a boob job.
Oh, I don't think that's quite the way
that's how I took it.
That's how you take it.
Yeah, as for boob job, not allowed one, so you bought me
Nothing wrong with your boobs. Seriously. The amount of women that come over and feel them, even in work, you just flop them out there. Are they real?
God. Oh, dear. Yeah, but again, it's what you see yourself when you look in the mirror, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of guys in my office that just flop my cock out on the desk and they're like, is that real?
It's just how you handle your own image, isn't it, really?
Well, that was insightful. Do you think that the lifestyles helped your confidence?
Well, like I said, I was confident anyway, but I think
it's cemented it.
It really has.
It's made an ego monster of you.
Has a little bit.
It does. I think you do find that people do enjoy you, and do, you know, the more people you meet and the more compliments you get.
The
more confident you do become in your own skin, and whilst that you'll always have those hang-ups, you certainly seem to be able to overlook them a whole lot more.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to hear people compliment you anyway, you know, and if you're kind of in a situation where, you know, people are obviously very turned on by you, and, you know, they tell you how good you look, then, you know, you're not going to say, don't be stupid, you're lying. You're going to be like, thanks.
Cheers, mate.
I feel great. You know, who doesn't like to hear a compliment?
Well, I know. It's what I find fascinating, or what I sort of initially struggled with, I suppose, is the inevitable posting a pic of you online versus posting a pic of me. And that's quite interesting.
This is endemic, though, in the lifestyle, I think,
I do think it can be. And all the top pictures on Fab, the...
Women.
On the site that we use here in the UK, or one of the main sites that we've got here. All the top picks that get fabbed, i.e. get a thumbs up or whatever, or you say that it's hot or whatever the process is, all tend to be women.
They really do. And even when you see a pic of a hot guy, and I mean a really good, decent pic that you
Thanks.
Like. you think, wow, that's really awesome. Again, it really doesn't get a lot of interest compared to, you know, a female pick, does it? So, yeah, it's crazy. It's like an awful Pizza Hut buffet, isn't it? When you put a picture up, it's like, oh, a million people just come and look at it straight away.
Do you want to explain what you mean by Pizza Hut buffet?
A buffet where they put pizzas out.
Yeah, but why do you... Okay. There's a reason why you said Pizza Hut buffet.
Oh, I see,
this is something
yeah.
that probably only you and I talk about, that we understand.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
fine.
An in thing for us.
Okay.
What you really mean is that Pizza Hut... In the UK, I don't know if they do it in the States or not, have a lunchtime offer, or used to have a lunchtime offer for like a tenner or £10. You pay that down, you could eat as much pizza as you could possibly shove down your gullet for 2 hours. And the thing was, you know, we did this a couple of times as part of our healthy lifestyle. And you'd sit down and as soon as they brought out a new pizza... It would be like
a feeding frenzy. Yeah.
It was like all the vultures and all the sharks and all the other animals that eat at Pizza Hut came swarming out to grab the latest hot
slice.
Even
though they've already got pizza on their plate.
I know.
As soon as a new one comes out.
Greedy fuckers.
Yeah.
And it's that mentality.
It is. Mm. It's a real meat market feeling, isn't it?
It is. Although I'd like to be the meat in the market occasionally.
I think that is just... a sad indictment of how it is on those sites, though. Like, the women just get the attention.
Mm, true.
Probably because there's so many horrible single guys posing as fake couples.
No, that's true. There's been a spate of those lately. So anyway, that was our little bit of a topic about body issues and confidence. I appreciate there's loads more that we could probably pick up on that and that we could discuss. But really just sharing a few of our thoughts and recent things that popped into our heads about it. So now we're on to... Just the tip.
Is that?
That's my new theme tune.
Okay.
I made that up right there. You'd never tell. I actually got a professional in to do that.
Did you?
I know, right?
Okay. You might want to work on that.
Really?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, welcome to Just the Tip.
Okay.
Oh, you thought I was going to sing there, didn't you?
Nope.
Really? I thought I was going to burst into Agadoo. That's where it was
wasn't it?
No, let's just stop that. So, my tip. So, one of the little things we found when we're going on a play date and we've invited someone back to Castle Bedhopper. We don't really live in a castle.
No,
yeah,
we don't
live in a castle. But when we're inviting people around, and if they do live relatively close to us, one of the things I like to do is, as I pick them up, have a couple of drinks waiting in the back of the car. It's my smooth move tip.
Yeah, like a limo driver.
Smooth criminal tip. So we have to give people a lift, which is always nice, because if they live, you know, save them a bit of money on a taxi, and it's plus then you can control when they turn up. It gives Mrs. H another 25 minutes to sort her hair and makeup out, or swiftly tidy the house, or, you know, calm the dog down somehow. So while that's happening, I go out and typically pick our friends up and bring them back to our house. One of the things I'll do is have a couple of nice drinks and a straw. And it's got to be a paper straw because we're environmentally friendly.
So like a little cocktail in a can.
Little cocktail that they in a can that they can have while we're driving them back. Because it really shows that we thought, and if it's something, if you know what they drink, it's even better. You can get a nice you know, rum and coke for the chaps,
yeah,
if that's what they do, or a nice gin and tonic.
That's really smooth.
It is smooth, and it makes people feel really at ease. It makes people feel welcome. And also, if you get them something that they like, it makes them understand that you're actually thinking about them.
I feel like I should get this treatment when we just go food shopping on a Monday.
No, we've just talked about alcohol and how it's bad. But here I am introducing it into other people's lives.
I could...
Like a pusher.
Get a Diet Coke.
You could get a Diet Coke. You know that there's one in the fridge. You can go and get it yourself.
I like your smooth move. It's nice.
I know. Thank you. And if you really wanted to have a smooth move, you could have your own personal butler in the back mixing them up a drink. That might be taking it a step too far.
Okay.
And it depends on how big your car is as well. It wouldn't fit in your car.
No.
No.
You'll like my tip.
Will I?
Yeah.
What's your tip?
It's a great tip.
Really?
Mm. It's really relevant as well to you.
Hmm. What is it?
My tip is don't go to a sex club, go down on a lady, and then be sick in your mouth.
Oh. This seems like it's...
Wise words.
Holy
my
aid.
Friend. Wise words.
It feels a little bit specific in its tippingness.
Unless you want there to be a 48-hour roasting and oh, repetition the of the story because it is so funny. I enjoyed it.
I've earned the roasting of our chums, of you.
I mean, it's not like I haven't over the years done similar things, of course. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about you.
Thanks, Mrs. H.
And what I'm taking for this is, you chanted in the sex club. When you were going down the lady.
I didn't chunder when I was going down.
You did. You just didn't know it. No, you did. You just didn't know it.
The movement of getting down there, I think, and the movement of my head and that angle clearly was what caused it.
Yeah, didn't work out so well after four bottles of wine. No.
It didn't. No,
who knew?
I know it was wrong. It was bad.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Okay, I'll take that tip and run with it. So I shall not puke in a sex club.
No.
While I'm going down on a lady.
Well, what really made me laugh was how annoyed you were because you were having such a good time.
Well, I what happened was I flew too close to the sun.
You did, Icarus. I'm afraid you did.
And my wings got burned. They burned the shit out of me. So, okay, I'll take that tip on the chin.
Nice.
Thanks. Yeah. That was good, wasn't it, really?
Pretty good.
Cool. Okay, well, I think that's it for episode 8. Thank you ever so much for joining us, folks. Mrs. H, do you want to do the ending thing? Can you do it in the style of something this time?
No, I just have me.
Can you do it in the style of you?
Well, yeah, like nice, cool, like me.
Nice and cool?
Yeah, I'm not doing any ridiculous accents. What? Don't need to.
We're not going to do any voices.
No. Nope.
Come on, you got to do it in the style of Annie. Ah.
I can assure you I don't.
Right, fine. Just do it in the regular way then.
But thanks for hopping into our bed.
Thanks, everyone. Take care. Oh, shit. Fuck. Bulls. Cunt. Twat.
Oh, God, you dropped the C-bomb.
I know. I didn't mention the Twitter. How will anyone find us on Twitter now if they don't know to go to Bedhoppers UK?